Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Today we complete the chapter on the prohibition of wailing over the dead, slapping the face, tearing the clothes, plucking out and shaving the hair, and supplicating for destruction. Islam is such a beautiful deen, such a beautiful religion. Every aspect of our deen is taught to us, is shown to us. We don't need to look to the west, we don't need to look to the east. We just look at our beautiful deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down via Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's come and done a practical demonstration to us, and we'll find all the answers to our questions in our deen. So completing this chapter, we've got just a few ahadith to do. An Asid ibn Abi Asid al-Tabi'i rahmatullahi alayhi an imra'atin al-mubayi'at قالت كان فيما أخذ علينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في المعروف الذي أخذ علينا ألا نعصيه فيه وألا نخمش وجهها ولا ندعو ويلا ولا نشق جيبا وألا نشر شعرا وألا ننشر شعرا رواه أبو داود. حضرت أسيد ابن أبي أسيد التابعي رحمة الله عليه narrates from a woman who had pledged allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This pledging allegiance, what we know as bay'at, and what generally takes place in tasawuf, we find that there is some basis for it in deen. Sometimes people make accusations that what is this bay'at all about? Is there such a thing as bay'at, pledging allegiance? Where do we find this in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So there is strong support for this, that sahaba would pledge allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is one example of it in this hadith, where this woman was from amongst the women that had pledged to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had taken bay'ah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously, in the absence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now bay'ah cannot be taken with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but can be taken with some responsible, pious person. The person is making a pledge. He's making a pledge so that he will not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He'll bring good in his life. He'll keep away from evil. All these things he pledges to somebody, obviously because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not present. But to say altogether that there is no basis for it, this is incorrect. This hadith shows us that this woman was from amongst the women who had pledged to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now she says that amongst the pledges which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made us abide by was regarding correct behavior, in respect of which he made us promise that we would not disobey him. So the first thing is that we would not disobey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the next thing is we should not scratch our faces. It was a practice in the time of Jahiliyat. Somebody would pass away, they would scratch, they would wail, they would slap themselves, they would make dua of destruction, etc. So the first thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said after not disobeying him is that we should not scratch our faces, ask for destruction, tear our clothes and pull out our hair. An Abi Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal ma min mayyitin yamutu fayaqumu biakibbihim fayaqulu wa jabala wa sayyida o nahwa thalik illa wukila bihi malakan yalhazanihi hakadha kunta rawahu al-Tirmidhi. Hazrat Abu Musa radiyallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a person passes away and people cry over him by saying, O the mountain amongst men, O the leader of people, or similar statements, then two angels are appointed to prod him in his chest and ask him, were you really like that? Were you really like that? Again, the explanation of this hadith is where a person saw these sort of things taking place in his family, he didn't do anything to stop it. Or the other explanation that was given, he made wasiyat that you people, you make these kind of statements. So now that effect comes onto him when he passes away. Here, this is talking about mourning. Otherwise, just generally speaking good about a person is something that is encouraged. A person has passed away, to speak good about him is encouraged. The malaika actually record the words of what the people are saying about this person. So therefore, when a person passes away, and there's no benefit in speaking bad about him, if we know some evil quality, evil traits about him, rather we keep quiet. If we got nothing good to say, then rather keep quiet, but don't speak bad. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically mentioned on an occasion when the son of Abu Jahl was coming, Hazrat Ikrimah radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that do not speak or do not swear his father, because swearing his father will harm the living. It's not that you're going to do any harm now to his father that has passed away, but you'll harm the living person. So there's no benefit to speak bad about somebody when they had passed away. So once they pass away, we don't speak bad about them. If there's good, we say good. But this hadith is speaking where specifically at that time, people start mourning in this nature, that they start saying, oh, the leader of people, oh, similar statements. People start making statements that he is the leader of the people, or here mountain has gone, and they start crying and wailing specifically in this manner. This is what is prohibited in this hadith. Last hadith, an Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, isnatani fi nasi huma bihima kufrun, الطعن في النسب والنياحة على الميت. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are two things people do which are actions of disbelief, actions of kufr. In relation to them, one is ridiculing a lineage and wailing over the dead. Ridiculing a lineage and wailing over the dead. We can see how serious it is. That there are two things people do which are actions of disbelief in relation to them. Number one, ridiculing a lineage and wailing over the dead. Something we must be careful of. Sometimes we find that a person may have a lineage that in our eyes that this is not a very strong lineage. It may be very direct that we speak about a person's lineage when you find fault with the lineage with his father directly. Or sometimes loosely in our circumstances we find a problem with a person's lineage via his language. This person, he speaks a specific language, we look down at him. This person, for example, speaks Zulu, this person is Urdu speaking, and this person is Gujarati speaking, and this person is Meman speaking. But person is saying this to look down against, here he's not looking down against one lineage, he's looking down against the whole lineage of a community. So therefore we must be very, very careful of what we say. One is the direct lineage that we don't go against. The person has got, this is his father, this is his grandfather, we don't look down. We don't speak against that lineage. And one is general, a person's lineage, family background, via the language he speaks, via the family that he comes, via the tribe or the place from overseas he comes. We don't need all this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely independent of all this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it, لِتَعَارَفُوا, so that we can recognize one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرِ وَأُنْثَى, that we have created you male and female. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا, we had created you into clans and into tribes. Why? لِتَعَارَفُوا, so you can recognize one another. If every person was created the same, spoke the same, every person was male or every person was female, then how we could recognize one another? This was the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that for our ease and our comfort and our ability to describe one another, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us in different languages, different lineages, different backgrounds, different professions, everything Allah Pak has done so that we can recognize and appreciate, not so that we can pick and prod on somebody else's language, somebody else's background, somebody else's financial status. This has nothing to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The real thing that Allah Pak mentions, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, the most noble of you in the sight of Allah is who? Atqakum, the one who has the most fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that is most pious. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at. This is who is the most noble person, not the person that has a better language, better background, better financial status. That has nothing to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Pak give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.